Open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. Now, I was initially going to try and make it through three verses, but the three verses that are coming up, there is just so much in them that I decided not to try and cut it down at all. So I just, and we'll concentrate on verse 9 tonight. 1 John chapter 4. We'll start at verse 1 and we'll read to 9. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. May the Lord give us ears to hear. So if we remember from last week on verses 7 and 8, John starting off verse 7 with a term of endearment, affection, calling his readers beloved, beloved family, spiritual children, let us love one another, and not just to love one another for the sake of spreading love around, but because love is of God. God is love. Okay? And if we love, we are of God. We are of his children, because his nature that has love, is in us. And if we are a new creature, we should be loving one another. The world, yes, but much more even each other, the brethren, Christians. He who does not love does not know God, has never known God. For one cannot claim to love, or one cannot claim to be a Christian, to know God, and then hate his brother. Right? He is a liar and the truth is not in him. Okay? He who does not love does not know God. So verse 9 then. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The love of God was apparent in us, in our case. The love of God was apparent. It was the fullest proof that God could show his love for you and I. It was God literally showing his love for us, in our case, making it manifest of his love towards us. Well, I have a question. What was our case? What was our case? What was our very being beforehand?
Having no hope and without God in the world.
Having no hope and without God in the world. How about being dead? Blind. not knowing where you are going. You see, everyone in here, all of us, this was our state. We had no hope. We could not see. We were without God. We were spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Destruction was what was due us. If you will, everyone turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll read, this is not just me saying this, we'll read what our former state was. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, if you guys need help, in front of your Bible, there's an index, okay, that'll tell you what page it's on. All right? Ephesians chapter 2, and I want you guys to listen and hear this. Listen and hear this, okay? Ephesians chapter 2. This was our case, okay? And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Who's that? Satan. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So you stop right there. Okay. Our case was we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We once walked according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan. We were once by nature children of wrath. Okay. Let's continue on. Verse 4. Ah, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. What is the gift there? Grace and faith. Okay? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Anyone in here have anything to do with their salvation? You were dead. He made you alive. Okay? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, that is all of us in here, you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Listen to this. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Flip back to our text, 1 John. So what was our case? Deadness. No hope.
Children of wrath.
Walking according to Satan. Okay. So the love of God was made apparent in our case. It was the fullest proof that God could show His love to us. It was a wonderful instance of the love of God that He should be pleased to take our case into consideration and to concern Himself for our happiness, as nothing is more obliging to human nature than to love. So no love obliges more than that which is exercised with great condescension after a provocation. Such was God's love to offending men. Man, I should say. Offending man. Man being all of us, okay? So what is this manifestation of God's love that John is talking about here? Anyone know? What is this love made apparent to us? Well, let's read. That God has sent His only begotten Son into the world. See, this is God working in our case, sending His only begotten Son into the world. That is, God, very God, coming in the flesh. Right? Here you have God, who has always been, coming down and taking upon the form of a man, who leaves His glory in heaven. Okay? Leaves His glory in heaven to come to earth as a human, to demonstrate, to show His love to sinners, to you and I. John 1:1-14. In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Philippians 2:5-8, this is part of what we should be memorizing. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery with God to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Okay, stop right there. Here you have God. You understand that? Here is God coming as a man, born a baby, in the flesh. And what does He do? He could walk around and say, I am God, serve me. He comes, and what does He do? Serves. Taking on the form of a bondservant. And coming in the likeness of men. See, we can read that 100 times, but can we really comprehend that God becomes a man? That's, you know, this doesn't, I've said this before, and this you can't even find a good illustration to use, but something like you or I becoming like a cockroach. But even then, that doesn't do its just. This is God Almighty, maker of the heavens and earth, the one who sustains our life. And here He comes in the flesh, as a man, to serve, to die, to love. And this is God manifesting, rendering apparent His love for our case, for sinners. Why? Because we were dead. Why? We had no hope. Why? We were blind. We were lost. We did not know where we were going. We could do nothing to save ourselves. Continue in Philippians. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Calvin writes, "He calls him his only begotten for the sake of amplifying. For in this he more clearly showed how singularly he loved us, because he exposed his only son to death for our sakes." Now, when you all are older and have children, you'll understand a little more. You know, I have an only son. Okay? And again, this doesn't compare. But that would be giving my only son to die for someone else. God gave us his only son to die for everything wrong that you and I have done. Christ came and lived the perfect life. He was sinless. Fully man, fully God, but sinless. Fulfilling every commandment. He did nothing wrong. It was you and I who deserved death. It was you and I who deserved to suffer. We were the ones that deserved punishment. Yet God, in his love, sent his only son, his only begotten son, to die for us. To show his love for us. Listen to this, Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Listen, while we were still sinners, he died for us. What love that is. What love. Why did God send his son to die for sinners? Is the question. Why did God send his son to die for us, for sinners? Let's read. "That you and I, that we might live through him." That we can have life. That we can have hope. That we can see. That we can have God in this life. That we might live through him. What Jesus did means life for us through the merit of his sacrifice. His work on the cross means life for us. Do you understand that? Him suffering on the cross means you can have life. Means you can glorify God for all eternity. Worshiping him forever through the means of his sacrifice on the cross. Continuing in Romans 5, I'll read 9 through 11. "Much more then," okay, he just said God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were sinners, Christ died. "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Stop there. What did we deserve? Death, wrath, punishment. But what does it say? Having now been justified by his blood, by his suffering, we shall be saved from wrath. Doesn't that make you sing to God and give him all the glory? Listen, I'm going to read this one more time. Because this is just, I don't have words to describe this. You and I were sinners, are sinners. While we were sinners, he died for us. So much more then, being justified through His blood, we are saved from wrath. Praise be to God. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. That blows me away. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to Him. We shall be saved by His life. See, it's not only in His death. Yes, it's through His death. But it's Him coming as a man, His life, living that perfect life, and then dying and being raised again. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. All glory always, always goes to God. We were dead. We were sinners. We had no hope. He sends His Son, dies for sinners, saves us from wrath. You have life. You have hope. You have eternal life. You can see. Destruction is not yours any longer, but peace and life. William Burkitt writes this, From this whole, learn that God's bestowing His Son upon a lost world was a manifest evidence of His great and wonderful love unto a lost world. In this was manifest the love of God in us. This was the manifest towards us, in our case. Are we listening? This was the manifestation of God's love towards us. I'll end with this verse in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He gave Himself for you and I. Everyone in here needs to know that we were dead, that we could not see, that we had no hope. You cannot make yourself alive when you're dead. When you have no hope, you have no hope. Lost. What are you going to do? You're dead. But God, who is rich in mercy, made you alive. By grace you have been saved. His love to you was made apparent in Him sending His only begotten Son for us sinners, who shook our fist at Him. Yet He loved you and suffered for you to save you from the wrath that was due you. Let us pray. Our Lord, our Father, our God, what an amazing love. While we were still dead, while we were by nature children of wrath, while we had no hope, while we were blind, while we shook our very fist at You, you sent your only begotten Son for sinners. Lord, let that penetrate through to our hearts. Let that shake us. What an amazing love to send your Son for sinners. That He would die and suffer on the cross. That we can live. That we can have hope. That we could see. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. To send us His Son. To die for us. When we deserve death and punishment. When wrath was due us. Christ came and took that wrath upon Himself. Lord, may that shake us. May that cause us to fall on our knees daily and cry out to You in a song of praise, of thankfulness to our God, the One who made us alive, who redeemed our souls. You are so good and kind, gracious. May that set in our hearts, Lord. May it penetrate everyone in here, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' holy name, amen.